This is a special Sunday service. Not only do I have Josh here with me, but he brought a missionary. And Laura Holmes is with us, and we're just so thankful to have you. And the way that we met is pretty strange. So before you come up, I'm going to have Josh come up. You're the culprit. And Josh would just work and mind your own business. Is that what was going on? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I do meet about 40 people a day, so the odds are pretty good.
And Laura, you were bringing in, somebody's car.
My sister-in-law's car.
Your sister-in-law's car.
Yeah.
For service. And so what happened?
She didn't know where the key was.
Didn't know how to start the thing?
Well, they're push button now. Okay. And she's like, I don't even know if there's a key for this car. And she's like, all this new technology. And I said to myself, well, I told her, I said, it's been out for about 8 years. Where have you been? And she goes, South Africa, and that's where it started.
Okay. From there. Okay. Yeah. And something drew you to her almost immediately. What would you say?
Oh, well, you know, 40 people a day, you know who's genuine, who's not, after interviewing that many people. So when somebody comes in genuine, you're automatically gravitated towards them. And she just seemed super genuine. I could see straight through her. So
was there something that just clicked, something that she said that...
I mean,
why did you think that we would be interested in...
Oh, I just knew. I just knew it. So
he called me up. He says, you have to call Laura. I said, okay, I'll call her, after he explained to me about the meeting. I said, I'll call her. And he says, now.
Hurry up. Yeah.
He's always been bossy. So.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Right. So the reason that you felt that I needed to call her was why?
Well, I just know that there's a... Well, she's from South Africa. I know there's a lot going on down there right now. The youth, on the whole, you don't have the barriers that you have here. Like with the youth here in America, you have the parents that are still around, and if their parents weren't Christians, then you've got a lot of walls that you have to break down and a lot of things you have to tackle. Down there, most of the parents have already passed away because of HIV and AIDS. So you have this new generation coming up, and they don't have any direction. They never even had a father. So when you go to introduce them to the father, they tend to get on fire very quickly. So things are spreading very fast. It's a very good, not to sound opportunistic, but to be opportunistic, this is a very good opportunity, and you kind of just want to hop on it because something big's going to happen there, and I feel as if it's going to be as big or bigger than what went down in India. So that's one of the main reasons that I was pushing for it.
We sure appreciate you doing that. And Laura, if you just come up here and switch places with Josh, we'll interview you.
Yeah. What he failed to tell you was I got weepy on him and I spilt my Coke all over his desk, so he really saw the genuine coming out.
Yeah. Now, maybe it's just in a kind of a brief synopsis, you could tell us how in the world did you get over to Africa? Because I don't think initially you were even thinking about being a missionary.
No, I wasn't. I was actually working at a big chemical nylon company in Pensacola, Florida, where I'm from. And we had been doing the purpose-driven life at lunchtime, and it really got me to thinking, what is God's purpose for my life? And so I met some people who were the co-directors of a orphanage called Beautiful Gate. And I'm actually in Lesotho, which is totally landlocked by South Africa, so it's a small country. So anyway, I meet this couple, they share in our church, and they're really good friends with some of my friends who are missionaries in South Africa. So I think, oh, that would be really cool to go to this orphanage, but you know, you're going, I don't have the vacation time and I really don't have the money, but God just wasn't going to let it go with. And so I kept praying and I thought, why Lesotho? I've never been out of the country, I've never even been on a mission trip, and I do not like to fly. We shared that.
Right, right. We
and so I was like, why would you take me? My son is actually starting his first year of college, and I thought, am I going to be able to leave him? So I prayed a year about it, and Hurricane Ivan, we took a direct hit. So it was during that time I thought, maybe I've been praying this wrong. You know how you pray, oh God, give me the plan, you know, reveal it to me. And so then I said, Lord, just give me the faith to step out in courage. I mean, the courage to step out in faith. And that's when I went to church after Ivan, And I was talking to my friends that had been in South Africa, and I said, I need to talk to Ray and Sue. I really feel like God is leading me to Lesotho. And she goes, he's here. And I looked through the doors, and there's Ray standing in the front, had no idea he was coming in for a visit. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that's it. I'm going. So I called my son and at Southeastern and said, Sam, guess where I'm going? He said, where? I said, Lesotho. And he said, no, Mom, that's really good. He tells people I left him. Most kids leave us as parents and go off to college. He said, my mom left me and went out of the country.
Abandoned. Yeah. Now, how were you supported when you first went over?
Actually, because I said I'll give God a year of my life, I was actually using my savings and my, I wasn't old enough to retire, but we had a retirement plan. So I was using that money because I had in my mind, well, if this doesn't really work out, I don't want people to be on board because I'm not really sure what God is doing with me. As I said, I had never been before, so I really didn't know much about raising support.
Now, you got over there and you got in the orphanage.
Right.
And then, I guess, sometime in the midst of this year, the Lord began to turn your head towards another direction.
He did. As I said, I went and I really didn't know even what my gifts were at the time or what I was going to be doing, but I ended up being the household manager for an orphanage. So I did all the shopping, did all the medical supply shopping, was over the cooks, the cleaners, the household, everything. And so I went out to a village church to do my cultural home visit and got to know the people in this church. She happened to be the preschool teacher at Beautiful Gate, and her husband was a pastor. So I went with 66 Basotho. I only knew three of them. Sorry, the people of Lesotho are called Basotho. So I went with 66 people on this bus, had no idea where we were going, and went out to a village, and they said, we're going to break up in groups. And she said, you're going to lead at every house that our group goes to. And I have to admit, I was scared because I had testified, but I had never really witnessed at this time. And so I just prayed that God would just give me the words to share at every house. Well, the last house we went to, what I realized is they had been there 5 years before. And as we were going, I realized that they really had not made a decision for Christ. The Basotho that were leading this thought that they had, but I realized they left them. They never went back. And so what happened is every house, he just gave me a different word to share. I got to the last house, and the lady there, right after she had received Christ, had been shot in the neck. And so she was now in a church worshiping the dead. Well, her son came out, and he said, May Laura, he said, I'm a Christian, but I don't know how to grow. We don't have a Bible, and we don't have a church here. And it just brought me back to when I was 15 and received the Lord. Nobody came alongside me and mentored or discipled me. And I thought, this is what God is speaking into me. I need to make disciples. Discipleship is what is needed. You cannot go out into a village and do evangelism without raising up some leadership and taking the time to disciple people. Because what I realized, they had been there 5 years before but had never gone back. And these people were still lost as they were the day they met them because they had no way to grow and really understand what it meant to be a Christian and how to strengthen that relationship with Christ. So yes, that's how I ended up being directed more toward evangelism and discipleship.
And so the people that you're working with are largely these young ladies.
Ladies and men.
Right, that are wrestling with this whole thing of, I guess AIDS is very prominent.
It is. In 25% of the country has HIV and AIDS.
And so you're almost coming in as a parent.
Yes, a mother, and they call May Laura. May is a name like a sir, like Mrs. He would be in Toddy, and so it means father, and May means mother. And so if you're an older lady, or you've been married, or you have a child, you're May. If you're a young lady, you would be Alcee, and a young man who's not married would be a Booty, but otherwise you're in Toddy.
Okay.
So you would be in Toddy Gary.
I probably won't remember that. But.
Yeah. But it's also used when we're talking about God. They would say in Toddy Modimo, which means Father God.
Okay. So you were going there for a year.
Yes. yes. I said, I would give God a year of my life to show me whatever he wanted to. And now basically if I didn't feel like this was where God wanted me, I would have come back. But as you can see, I never came back.
So the year stretched out to how long?
It's been 8.5 years now.
And now you ran out of money.
Yes, God said, Laura, I'm going to reveal your weakness to you since you cannot see it. And that was that I was using my savings as a security blanket. So what I would do, instead of letting others share in my needs and God to use them, I wouldn't tell of my needs. I would just dip into my savings and my retirement. And then last year, God just said, whoosh, and he said, Laura, I need you to share your needs with people. So,
and your church is really in Pensacola.
Yes.
Has really rallied around you at
yes.
this time. And
they have.
You have quite a bit of support now. You're actually going to be flying out the same time I do.
Yes, the same day, it sounds like.
On the 17th. And so you'll be heading back over. One of the things that you mentioned is that there's a young lady that works with you.
Yes, we work together. We partner together.
And you said her name is Dee or...
Dineo, which is actually spelt with an I. It's L-I-N-E-O. The D's are L signs, and the L sometimes are D sounds. So,
And she's been under the auspice of Youth for Christ.
Right. She's been with Youth for Christ since she's been about 13 or 14. She's now, I was telling him, her birthday's New Year's Eve, so she's either 30 or 31 this year.
And she's a national.
Yes.
So... with her working all this time, she really has been working with no support at all.
Right.
Actually, you've been supporting her.
Yes, I've been helping her. When you see somebody who's serving the Lord, and they're doing it with nothing. She didn't have any money. She had a couple that was supporting her, but what happens in Lesotho is you have missionaries come in, as you do in any country, and eventually they leave. And so she had somebody who was supporting her that had been the national director. They were from Sri Lanka, and they had supported her, and now she's the first national director there. And so what happens is all the other missionaries who came in and were the national directors from Holland, when they leave, the support goes with them, because a lot of people will not actually trust the nationals. So for me, and I've had situations where, yes, things have not been good. And so you really have to build those relationships with one another and develop that trust with each other, and then work side by side with each other to really get to know someone and what they're doing. So I have several people I partner with, and Deanie's one of those, but she's one who doesn't have any income. I mean, she drinks tea and eats bread. And she has a mom, but her father died 2 years ago of HIV and AIDS, and they're Christians, and she's the oldest. So it's expected that the oldest in the culture is supposed to support their family, but here she is serving God and doesn't have support. And she's wrestled with getting a job, but the thing is, the ministry she does is really full-time. She goes into the prisons with the juvenile prison service. She's got a youth center out in another village, and she's really trying to expand Youth for Christ all throughout Lesotho. So there's three other towns that are probably, one's an hour and a half, one's about 4 hours, and one's 3 hours, to take the word out into the more rural areas with the youth, because as Josh said, I really see that God is going to use this younger generation to bring revival to Lesotho. I'm just seeing these young people. I know two pastors who are 25, and they're just on fire. And the people are going out, and they're doing outreach on campus. I work a lot with a church out on the university campus. And, I mean, it's just been amazing to see what's going on. But that's Deanie's heart, is to reach these young people and to counsel and to become, she would be a young mother to them, but to be that person that can help them understand why they need a relationship with Jesus Christ and how to grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ, and not to put their hope or base their success on what the world tells them, but studying and becoming a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ and understanding our hope is in him, not what's going on around us.
I think that's one of the things that just drew our hearts together, was your strong desire to want a disciple and to see these young ladies and young men get grounded in the Word. And I'm just so thankful for that. I mean, you can see her heart, can't you? It's just, as Laura's just talking, we're just really excited about. We believe that it wasn't an accident. The Lord brought us together for a reason. And we certainly want to be, we want to be open to the Lord's leading in our lives about this. And I'm so thankful that you took out time. And you're going to have another service to do this too. So
no, I appreciate it. It's fun.
Up for it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love to share with people and talk. And I like to hear about what's going on in y'all's lives as well. That's just,
and you'll have to remind us of the name of the place. But
okay. Lesotho.
Lesotho. Okay.
It sounds like Lesotho, but you enunciate Lesotho, so yes. No, thank y'all very much. It's so special to be here. And when we met, it was just like I'd known this family forever. I mean, it was just so relaxed, and just we were able to be just ourselves and transparent with one another and just share our hearts. And so, yeah, I call it, you know, a divine appointment when you meet people. It's not by chance. God put us together for a reason, and it's just been awesome. So I said, I was on my way out when we met, so I wasn't able to come by, and I said, I'm going to go back to Jacksonville, you know, on my way up to North Carolina and way out. So, yeah, it's been great. Thank you all so much.
We're so glad you came back. Connie, we have that sheet. Did we bring that?
Don handed them out.
Hand me one of those, Sonny. We put a basic sheet down as far as the missionaries that we are drawn to, the missionaries that we support. We have a basic fundamental criteria here that we just want to reiterate and go over once again with you. First of all, we just want to encourage you that when we choose missionaries, we're looking to support missionaries, first of all, that are pioneer in the work that they're doing. One of the reasons why we've been drawn to that is because this particular work, Family Bible, is a pioneer work. So our hearts are just naturally drawn to those that are starting off new works. And we clearly desire to support only those that are sound in doctrine. I mean, that goes without saying. We want to know what the doctrine is that they're teaching, that they're teaching the Word of God, that they're teaching it rightly, dividing it. But this is certainly a necessity. And then we want to know that they're evangelical in focus. That is to say that their desire is to reach the lost through the plan of salvation, through the gospel. Evangelical meaning the gospel, evangelism. And then bottom line is we have to have this sense of kindred spirit. The Lord just draws people together. We can't define why or how that happens, but it's certainly the Lord, and he just puts us on the same page, and we have that same desire together. Our goal is to make sure that those we support or care for financially, that we are of kindred spirit with them. They are held in high esteem by our people through prayer and correspondence. And one of the things that we encourage, the number of verses that we have down at the bottom, we encourage you to get involved with a missionary. We're almost encouraging you to adopt one for yourself. I know Ray and Roxanne have adopted the Mulvihills, and I think Don and Kay early on had adopted them. Certainly others of you have adopted those in India. And so how your heart is drawn, listen to the Spirit as He beckons you. But get involved with these ministries that you and I could actually be a part of. This is just nothing less than amazing, isn't it? We can actually be a part of this. So if you want to know how we choose missionaries, we're at this juncture really praying on the Lord's leading in this. And once again, we don't believe that this was an accident meeting. So continue to pray with us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we've had today to just get to know a little bit more about this wonderful ministry. Lord, we know there are great needs all around us, but you pinpoint those needs in our lives and you call upon us to help. Not because you need our help, but because you desire to bless us greatly. We give you thanks for the opportunity and the privilege to even be a part of such a thing. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.